This evening's lesson is also a result of studying with him. Because when we got to the end of the book of Acts, he was kind of disappointed. It just suddenly stops. What happened to Paul afterwards? And I thought this would be a good lesson then to bring to the rest of you as well. As I was telling Andrew, there's really not a particular conclusion or thing. It's more like a history lesson, but it's something that's useful to know, and we'll see some things, dig some things out as we go along from the scriptures. But in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 15, Paul wrote to the Romans about his future plans. At the time, he was in Corinth when he wrote this. But he talked about what he would like to do in the near future. And he mentions in Romans 15 and verse 23, he says, But now with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing, and to be helped on my way there by you, when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. But for now I'm going to Jerusalem, serving the saints. And then jumping down in verse 28, it says, therefore, when I finish this, and I put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go by way of you to Spain. So Paul's plans were basically that, well, Paul's always had this philosophy that he basically likes to start new churches. That's his zeal. That's what he does well. And he's basically saying, I'm running out of places in these regions. He's been most places. And so it's about time he moves to a new region. And so he planned to, from where he was at, he first had to make a journey over to Jerusalem because he had arranged for help to be sent to Jerusalem from the brethren up in Macedonia. And then after he finished making sure that was taken care of, then he planned to go to Rome, visit with the Roman brethren there for a little while, and then move on to going out to Spain. But things didn't go quite the way Paul planned. And that seems to be what we all always need to remember. Things are not exactly the way we would like them to be. After going to Jerusalem, he was arrested. And he did go to Rome, but he went there as a prisoner instead of as a free man. And the book of Acts ends before Paul's life ends. In fact, near the end of the book of Acts, Paul is arrested. And he spends several years in Caesarea. I'm sure he didn't think it was going to take him that long to get to Rome. But he spent several years in Caesarea while waiting for someone to make a decision. Felix was waiting for him to give him a bribe, which never came. So in Acts 24 and in verse 26, it says, at the same time, he was hoping that money would be given to him, that's Felix, by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porticus Festus. And wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul a prisoner. Now, when the new governor gets there, the threat was basically to send him to Jerusalem, where everybody knew that the Jews had plotted to assassinate him. So Paul finally used his right as a Roman citizen to appeal his case to Caesar. In Acts chapter 25, starting with verse 10, it says, but Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you also very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of these things is true, of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. And as a result, he went. And even though Paul was sent as a prisoner, we find out he did not travel alone. Take a look in chapter 27. Notice the use of the word we. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, they proceeded to deliver Paul and some other prisoners to the centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. The we is referring to Luke, who is the writer of Acts. Luke is a traveling companion with Paul. Paul had companions go with him. And we're not aware of, we're not told how many also went with Paul and Luke, but there's at least those two going together. They, in traveling, they land in Crete. And this is something we need to take note of. In Acts 27, verse 8, it says, "With difficulty sailing past it, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia." And if we read the next verse, we notice that it was not a short stay. This was not a pull in the harbor and sail out the next day. Verse 9 says, "When considerable time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began admonishing them." Notice, considerable time was spent in that harbor. They spent way too long there, and now the season has changed and it becomes dangerous to sail. But Paul actually had rights to go off ship, and so he had spent time in Crete. But we do know that, we don't know how long they stayed, but that considerable time passed as they waited for more favorable winds. Eventually, it did set sail, only to be caught up in a storm that eventually leaves them shipwrecked on an island called Malta, down south of the tip of Italy. And after 3 months being on that island, after the storm season had passed, the journey was finally completed and they continued up to Rome in Acts chapter 28 and verse 11. And at the end of 3 months, we set sail on an Alexandrian ship, which had wintered at the island, which had the name Twin Brothers for its figurehead. And there in Rome, he's placed under house arrest for 2 years. In fact, let's just take a look at that. And in chapter 28 and verse 30, "And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness and unhindered." And the book ends. As my friend was saying, he was saying, I got all wrapped up in this story. This is not a good ending point. So what is the rest of the story? What happened to Paul? It isn't that we don't know, but we have to piece the story together from various letters that Paul wrote. For instance, while he was in prison at Rome, he wrote at least 4 letters, probably 5 letters while he was there. He wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon are the letters he wrote while he was there. You can see those being mentioned. So if we go to Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 1, it says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles." He's referring to the fact that he's in prison. He also mentions that in Ephesians 6 and verse 20, "For which I am ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And we know he was teaching while he was in prison in his own house and in chains. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 7, he says, "For it is not only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You are all partakers of grace with me." So he mentions again, he's making a defense, but he's also mentioning he's in prison. And in the book of Philemon, jumping to that one. And in verse 1, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. And down in verse 10, he says, I appeal to you, for my child Onesimus, whom I begotten in my imprisonment. He converted Onesimus while in prison. And there's actually that the fifth book is the book of Hebrews. Now, there's some arguments about whether Paul wrote Hebrews or not. But I believe the evidence is more than sufficient to say that this was a letter by Paul. We look at the evidence there, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 13. And in verse 24, it says, greet all of your leaders and all the saints, those from Italy greet you. This letter was written from Italy, which is, we know where Paul was at. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, and in verse 32, it says, but remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partially by being made a public spectacle and reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who are so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your properties, knowing that you have have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. That was not quite the one I wanted. You know, he does talk about them treating prisoners well. There's another verse. In chapter Hebrews 13, though, and in verse 23, it says, take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes, I will see you. So notice he mentions Timothy was recently freed. The word there, apoloio, means to be released. And it could be such as released from prison or released from an obligation. So it doesn't necessarily mean Timothy was in prison with Paul. It may be that he was just Paul, or whoever was writing the Hebrew letter, which I think is Paul, was saying that he was released from an obligation to stay there. And we do know that Timothy did spend time with Paul while Paul was in prison. Going back to Philippians chapter 1. We mentioned these letters were written by Paul while he was in prison. In Philippians chapter 1. My Bible to flip over there. And in verse 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Colossians starts very similarly. Philemon starts the same way too. Timothy is a joint writer with Paul while he's in prison. And Paul planned, in the Philippian letter, he planned to send Timothy to Philippi. Take a look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your conditions. So there was plans, though Timothy was with Paul at that time, that Paul wanted Timothy to go to Philippi, so he could have news about what's going on there. Another thing we want to take notice of is something that Paul said in an earlier letter, in 2 Thessalonians, down at the bottom of that letter, and in verse chapter 3, and verse 17 and 18, he says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. See, Paul doesn't sign his letters, Paul. He signs them with this phrase, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, or something similar, similar wording. Now compare that to the end of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 25, Grace be with you all. And if you actually go through all of Paul's letters, you'll find that a similar wording letter, something about grace being with you all, in at the end of basically every letter, or close to the end of every letter. And then last evidence why we know, I would say that Hebrews is a letter by Paul, is the fact that the book of Hebrews, when the early manuscripts were out, the book of Hebrews was in the manuscripts that were the bundle for Paul's letters. They had different scrolls. They used scrolls at that time. And so the scroll for Paul's letters included the book of Hebrews. And there's several manuscripts like that. In fact, Dr. Gary Crampton says, it is also worthy of note that in several of the early Greek manuscripts, this epistle is located not after Philemon as in our Bibles, but grouped among other Pauline epistles, thereby revealing that those who arranged the manuscript considered Hebrews to be of Pauline origin. What he's saying is it didn't appear at the end, like we have in our Bible. It was right in the middle of all the other epistles of Paul. In fact, it was usually the first, or usually was the second or third in the other manuscripts. Because most time when you write in a scroll, you go from largest letter to smallest letter. Because in case you're running out of room, it's easier to squeeze down a small letter when you run out of room on a scroll. So they start out with the larger ones, and Hebrews is a fairly large letter. But it was up in among the large letters of Paul, is where it was usually grouped. Another statement is Ernest Martin. He says, now, next come the 14 epistles of Paul. The book of Hebrews is placed after 2 Thessalonians and before 1 Timothy in this particular scroll that he's talking about. Then afterwards, we have what are known as the pastoral epistles given to pastors or evangelists, all individuals, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and last of all, the great prophetic book, Revelation. The position of Hebrews in the vast majority of official manuscripts show that it is in the midst of Paul's epistles. So the historical evidence is that Hebrews is written by Paul. The clues within Hebrews, somebody who knows Timothy, was with Timothy, was in prison in Italy, and he signs it the way Paul signs it. They all point to Paul. It reads like one of Paul's letters, for that matter. The style is very similar to what Paul writes. So using that, because I wanted to make that point because I want to use Hebrews as one of the evidence of what happens after Paul. So let's talk about, now that Paul's plans were interrupted by being in prison in Rome, what happened to him afterwards? In his letters, he talks about his updated plans. In Philippians chapter 1, and in verse 7, he says, for only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. Jumping down to verse 12, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting the Lord, became, because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Paul has been busy while he's a prisoner. He's converted a lot of his guards. He doesn't give up. He's actually converting his guards. And his word's spreading out, and other people are bold about the gospel because they see Paul's not intimidated by being in prison. Now, jump down to verse 21 of chapter 1. Paul says, "For but for me to live is for For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having a desire to depart and be with the Christ, for that is much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for all for your progress and joy in the faith. Now notice what Paul's saying. Paul has confidence that he's not dying yet. He talks about, he says, you know, it'd be nice to go on and go back home and go to the Lord. That's a whole lot better circumstance. But he also knows, hey, I got a lot of work to get done. And Christ isn't done with me yet. And you all need me. So I know I'm staying around. And this is written while he was in that imprisonment. In verse 26 of chapter 1, he says, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Paul's saying, I know I'm going to come back to Philippi and see you again. Timothy would be sent to Philippi. We mentioned that already. But also notice Paul says, I'm going to follow him. Take a look at chapter 2, verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Now jump down to verse 23. Therefore I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. Now, in the letter to Philemon, when he was twisting Philemon's arm about being kind to Onesimus, in verse 22, he makes mention, he says, at the same time, also prepare me lodging, for I hope through your prayers that I will be given to you. One of these arguments, or one of the ways he's strong-arming Philemon, is saying, oh, by the way, I'm dropping by. I'm going to check up on you, whether you actually did what I told you to do or not. So get a room ready for me. But he's writing this from prison. See, Paul has strong confidence that he's going to come out of this imprisonment. And then when you connect it with what the Hebrew writer said, going back to Hebrews 13, and verse 19, he says in verse 19, and I urge you all the more to do this so that I may be restored to you the sooner. The writer of Hebrews is saying, I'm going to get out of prison soon. And in verse 23, he says, take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. But Paul, back in the Philippian letter, said, I'm planning to immediately send Timothy, as soon as I know whether I'm going to get out or not. So it all fits together with being with Paul. One other thing that we want to take note of is that the book of Acts ends by saying that Paul was in prison for 2 years. That means Luke knew Paul's imprisonment came to an end, because otherwise he couldn't put a date. He couldn't put a time of how long Paul was in prison if he didn't know when Paul got out of prison. So when Acts was written, Luke did know Paul got out at the end of 2 years. Now Paul, in his last letter of his life, looks back in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and makes this mention. In verse 16 he says, but at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me, may it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. When it came down to when it was actually the defense, nobody wanted to go before Caesar with Paul. But Paul said, the Lord was with me, and I was rescued in that first defense. So when we put all these clues together, what we know Paul got out, and he was freed. Now, after Paul's release, we take note that Paul writes to Titus, in Titus chapter 1, verse 4, "To Titus, my true child in the common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." Titus was traveling with Paul. They both went to Crete. Why did they go to Crete? Well, Paul helped start some churches there probably on the ship when he was sailing past the first time. And as Paul's wont to do, he goes back to check on the churches. And he says, "And I left you in Crete to set things in order," while he moved on to other places. In 1 Timothy, a letter that was written probably about the same time as Titus was written, or shortly thereafter, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, "As I urge you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines." Now, if you're thinking about sailing from Italy, you can easily stop by the island of Crete and then move up to the city of Ephesus. Timothy was traveling with Paul, and Paul left Timothy in Ephesus while he moved on to Macedonia. In going back to Titus again, Titus chapter 3 this time, and in verse 12 he says, "When I send Aretaeus or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I decided to spend the winter there." Nicopolis is on the up, basically by the Macedonian level, north-south, but it's over on the western edge instead of the eastern edge. He's on the opposite side of the Greek peninsula. And he tells Titus, "I want you to join me there, because I'm going to spend the winter." Either Aretaeus or Tychicus would be either sent to take over what Titus was doing in Crete, or they were to be serving as Titus's traveling companion. You could go either way with the way it's worded. Now, some early Christian writers, while not inspired, do mention that Paul was released by Caesar and traveled for 2 years in Spain and was arrested again. Clement of Rome, in 1 Clement 5, verses 5 through 6, it says, "By reason of jealousy and strife, Paul, by his example, pointed out the prize of patient endurance. After that, he had been 7 times in bonds and had been driven into exile, had been stoned, had preached in the east and in the west. He won the noble renown, which was the reward of his faith, having taught righteousness unto the whole world, having reached the furthest bounds of the west. And when he had borne his testimony before rulers, so he departed from the world and went unto the holy place, having been found a notable pattern of patient endurance." Notice that Clement says Paul went to the furthest edges of the west, out to the edge of Spain. Portugal wasn't there yet. There's a document known as the Manchurian Canon, and it says, it lists out the books of the Bible. But in that middle of that list, it says, "Moreover, the Acts of all the apostles were written in one book. For most excellent Theophilus, Luke compiled the individual events that took place in his presence, as he plainly shows by omitting the martyrdom of Peter as well as the departure of Paul from the city of Rome when he journeyed to Spain. As for the epistles of Paul, they themselves make clear to those desiring to understand which ones they are, from what place or for what reason they were sent. So the Manchurian canon says, oh, by the way, the reason why Acts stops at such an awkward spot, Luke wasn't there. He only writes about things he personally knows. And so Luke didn't go with him to Spain. So there's no record of that by Luke. And that makes sense. Now, if you also think about it, if Paul was wintering over in Nicopolis on the western edge of Greece, that's a great place to go up into Europe and over to Spain. It makes the journey quite easy. And so there's no reason to doubt that probably Paul did actually make, he finally got to do what he planned to do. It just didn't happen when he planned to do it. Now, 2 Timothy is then written during Paul's second imprisonment. Paul's in prison again in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me of his prisoner, but join me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. And Paul is looking at this point at the end of his life. Where the other ones talk about his release and what he planned to do after he got out, this one he's not planning to get out. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, it says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul's looking at, I'm going to die. He knows it. He's not getting out of this one alive. And where the other ones, Timothy was with him, and he sends Timothy, in this imprisonment, Timothy's not with him. Rather, he asks for Timothy to come to him. Take a look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 9 through 12. It says, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Christian has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. So Luke is back with Paul while he's in prison. But Timothy is not. And a lot of the other companions that Paul had, which are, by the way, Demas and some of the other ones are mentioned in the other letters, they have all abandoned Paul or have been sent to other places. He also mentions that he left a coat and some books in Troas. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 13, when you come, bring the cloak, which I left in Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Now that also indicates that it wasn't a real long time since he was in Troas. And if you think about from the first imprisonment, yes, he was in Troas for a little while, but he went to Jerusalem. He spent 2 years in prison in Jerusalem. He went 2 years in prison up in Rome. Oh, by the way, I left my cloak. That would have been like 5 or 6 years ago if that was the Troas he was talking about. So this is a different time. He managed between the first imprisonment and the second imprisonment to go to Troas. In fact, he probably went there after he went to Spain. And he wants Timothy to reach him before winter. Take a look at verse 21. Make every effort to come before winter. Eulabus greets you, also Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. There's an urgency here. that he wants his cloak and his books. And it's not just because of the approaching winter, but probably also because he knows he's not going to be around much longer. Now take note also that he sends greetings, and the names that he lists, they're all Roman names. All the ones he sends greetings from the brethren, and they're all Roman names. So again, the local brethren, he's in prison and he's in Rome, not expecting to be released. And again, it matches what history tells us, that Paul died in Rome. The only other interesting little tidbit, I didn't put this in my notes, but the book history of book I'm reading right now mentions it. It mentions Claudia, and that Claudia is probably the wife of a Roman official who was in charge of Britain. And there's some speculations that Paul might have, in his travels to Spain, also spent a little bit of time up in Britain. And now he's back, he's actually staying with Claudia, who is connected to Britain. How strong that assertion is, I don't know. But it's something of interest as well. But what we see is that a lot of times we don't get everything we want, but yet God did give Paul what he desired, just not the way Paul wanted it. I don't know if this is actually a lesson to encourage us in any other way, other than seeing that you know, we do know what happened to Paul and what happened in the rest of his life. We know a little bit of the rest of the story. There's parts that, of course, we would like to know. We'd like to know what happened in Spain and the other places that he might have visited, but those details were not given to us, and you know, the Bible's big enough as it is, I guess, from what God looks at. Right now, we'd like to offer an opportunity, as we do every time we gather together. There's anyone who wishes to become a child of God. There's no better time than the time that we're gathered together and the time that we have right now, because the future's not guaranteed. Things change, like Paul shows us. And if there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.